A bit of a heavy topic this morning. I thought you could handle it. Antichrists and our safeguards against them. I think I should read a few more verses here, so I hope you haven't closed your Bibles. If so, open them again to 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to, I think it's 29, where John talks about Antichrist. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. In our text, John the Apostle is saying to us that the last hour has already arrived. The world is coming to an end. The world is coming to an end, and we are to watch and be careful and to be alert, to watch for the coming of the antichrists. It's a plural. Those people who oppose Jesus Christ, those people who oppose the gospel, who oppose his word, and who oppose the followers of Jesus Christ. But even so, even though he is saying these things, he is reassuring us as Christians as well. He is positive that if you and I as Christians abide in Jesus Christ, if we remain in his teaching, we will have the discernment, the spiritual discernment that is necessary so that we won't start believing in these lies and start being led astray. Point one. John is warning the Christians then, as he is warning us today. He is saying that things are coming to a close. He says this is the last hour twice, alone in verse 18. And he says, we know that it's the last hour because many antichrists have already come. And the Bible teaches that a certain antichrist is coming, a certain personage perhaps, a ruler, perhaps a government, who will come in the power of Satan and try to deceive Christians. John doesn't talk that much about that, but he emphasizes that now already many antichrists have come and are among us, and warning us that these things are not only future events, something in the future that we need to be watching for, but that already now it's a present reality. And then the next point, John is writing in a way that it shows that these people, the Christians, the people in the church, already know who these antichrists are. That's the word he uses. We might be a little bit surprised at his choice. I guess he could have called them unbelievers or those who aren't Christians yet, but he calls them antichrists, people that he knows within the church, those who are seemingly trying to influence others to believe the wrong things. They know who these people are, and he says, we knew that they weren't in the right path because they left us. They were there for a time, and then they left. And he refers to them, I think, as antichrists because they were following a different gospel than Jesus Christ. They didn't believe the gospel about Jesus and that he is the only Son of God, and so they just left. And I think counterfeit Christianity, and I think there's a lot of it around today, counterfeit Christianity usually remains hidden for a time. It'll remain hidden for a while, but it won't take all that long before it's revealed. I think you and I will be able to tell who the real Christians are and who the false ones are. And I think it's based on their response and on their reaction to the true Word of God. To the true Word of God. And the next point, he makes a further distinction between them and us. He says it quite clearly in these verses that we as Christians have been anointed by the Holy One, which I believe is a reference to the Holy Spirit. We've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit as Christians residing among us, or within us is a better way to say it. So the Spirit isn't even only an outside influence outside of you, trying to influence you from the outside. The Holy Spirit resides in us, lives within us, prompting us to do what is right, teaching us about God's Word and the truths within it. And so John makes the point, you don't really need to fear these things because you know the truth, he says. You know the truth. You are being taught the truth by the Holy Spirit. And yes, the spirit of Antichrist is working among us. I think we see evidence of it in different ways. But the antidote to it, or the correction to it, or the remedy to it, is the inward reception of the Holy Word of God and being in tune and in touch and being taught by the Holy Spirit. And hence, it is important then that you and I as Christians are walking closely in touch with the Holy Spirit and also are taking in God's Word on a regular basis and not leaving that up on a shelf somewhere and not consulting it. We need to consult it. And especially, I don't know about, we've been here how long now, dear? About a year and a half. I have yet to have some other group come to the door and wanting to convince us of something different. Does that happen here? Yes, it does. Okay, all right. So, you may well have had a chance to engage in some conversations. We certainly did in Fort Francis. I always thought they would try to avoid the pastor, right? I'm there in the church, and I'm thinking, well, here in the church, I'll be safe. They won't knock on this door. Sure enough, some of them showed up, and we had some very good conversations. I think they were helpful. I think they were helpful. And the next point is a question. Who is the liar? See, John in this epistle, he paints this epistle in black and white terms. If you read 1 John, you will notice it. He doesn't leave much space for gray. I think he is wanting to paint it in these colors to bring the Christians back to the truth, and so that we will then not be as soon influenced by the evil. I think that's why he's writing in these ways, and it's shown in other ways in 1 John. But this is the question that he poses. Who is the liar? And he says it. The liar is the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. And then he makes the point that Jesus, the Son, and God the Father always go together. They cannot be separated. If you deny the Son, you also deny the Father. And if you acknowledge the Son, Jesus Christ, you also acknowledge God. The two must go together. Some people, as I've encountered them and talked with them, they've said, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. He doesn't mean much to me, and I don't follow him. Well, that's a contradiction, friends. That doesn't work. That's a contradiction. That's a lie. It can't be, because if the person truly believes in God, then they also believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And I sometimes wonder about this, that the strange cults have such appeal in our culture today. I can think of some reasons. One is they're really dressed nicely, and they feel really quite confident about what they're saying. And that impressed me when a few of the Mormon fellows came. And so I thought, wow, these guys, you know, they're willing to take on a pastor. They're coming into my territory and trying to convince me of their truths. So we had some good discussions. And I think we were respectful to each other. We weren't trying to knock each other down, but we were trying to convince one another of the truth as we saw it. And they have this appeal in our world. You see it all over the place. And the thing is, they don't want to accept that Jesus is the only way to God, to be reconciled to God, that Jesus is the only way by which we can be forgiven. They don't want to allow that. They will allow, most times, that Jesus is good, he's important, he did miracles, he was on this earth. A lot of them will accept that and say, oh yeah. So then you're wondering, oh, well, who are these folks now that agree to this? So then they kind of get you in that line of thinking. But then we say, there is no other way. Jesus and God belong together. Jesus is the only Son of God and the only way by which you and I can be reconciled to God. There's no other leader. There's no other teacher or ruler or set of rules or other set of writings that need to be added to the Bible? No. We have what we need. And we are being taught by the Holy Spirit and have Jesus in our hearts. And any diversion from this is the spirit and teaching of the Antichrist. I think that is what John is telling us here this morning. And then I think we need some safeguards. And this slide, the next one, shows that. The safeguards that protect us as Christians. And John mentioned specifically two safeguards. And I've referred to them already, but maybe it's okay to review them. One safeguard is to remain in the Son and in the Father. To remain there. I think that's important because sometimes we don't remain. Sometimes we are tempted to drift away. We lose our first love for Christ. We are kind of distracted by the desires of the world. But it's important that you and I remain, and apparently John thinks so because he mentions it four times in this text, and then also the word I noticed in verse 28, he says, and now, dear children, continue in him. So he doesn't use the actual word remain, but the same idea, continue in him. Then we also see that there's a danger that Christians will drift away. Vital that we remain in the gospel. And then as we've talked about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit who remains with us as Christians, isn't there one time and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is gone again. No, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you and remains within you and keeps teaching you. I think that's a wonderful truth. Amen? Okay, you're not very Pentecostal. Amen? Amen? Amen, there we go. I sometimes do that at Hillside too, and I need to encourage them also. Is not real the Holy Spirit? Is real, I mean, and not counterfeit? Some things are counterfeit, But the Holy Spirit is real, and of course we trust the Holy Spirit to work within us. If you work with larger equipment, and I think lots of you folks do, I've been on the farm a couple of years, just as a worker, mind you, but I had the chance to drive a few nice big tractors. And on these tractors or logging equipment or trucks or farm machinery, there are these big warning stickers. Have you seen them? You know, they're in bright orange or in yellow, and it says warning, warning. They say things like warning, extreme danger, or warning, always turn off the power source when you're trying to fix this thing. Or warning, keep the guards in place. Do you keep them in place, Darren? Not always. They're a bit of a nuisance, so off they go. Or some I've seen warning, hot oil under pressure. If you're going to change this thing, be cautious, be aware. Now, of course, the owner can think, well, that's not important. I'll just peel that off. I don't even like that. Or remove the guards. Or ignore the warning altogether. Or you can keep those things in place and follow the precautions and potentially save yourself from accident and danger. And it seems to me that this passage is kind of like a big warning sticker. Warning. Warning. We're in the last hour, he says. Warning. The Antichrist is coming. Warning. Many Antichrists have already come and are among us and trying to distract us and take us away from Jesus. They're trying to deceive us, and we need to be on guard. Don't let that happen, John warns us. Don't let that happen. And he reassures us as Christians by saying that you and I have all the resources that we will ever need to counteract these dangers. We don't need to be afraid. We have these measures through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God that you and I don't need to be afraid. And so I think it's appropriate that also this morning we would say to our Lord, Lord, thank you for this warning. Thank you for that. I want to heed those warning stickers. I want to read your word and let the word fill me and teach me and guide me. I want the Holy Spirit to be first in my life, teaching me, guiding me, prompting me, convicting me where I need that conviction. And then going over and say, where I need to confess that sin and to others when I've offended them or hurt them, and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I want to be right with you and want to be right with God. One thing that I've noticed in my time as pastor, it doesn't work if my wife and I have had a spat, which happens only very rarely, but occasionally, yes. So we've had an argument, and then we're not, communication has broken down a bit. And then I go to the office, and I'm supposed to prepare a sermon? That doesn't work. Does that work for you, Peter? Not too good. It seems like, it's almost like a contradiction. Then trying to prepare something, I then need to go back first and apologize, confess to my wife, confess to the Lord, and then I can go on again. Then it makes sense again. Then what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to live out is in agreement, and that's how we want to live as Christians. And so let's be warned, I suppose, but let's also be encouraged that we will make it through the end, to the end. I say this in Hillside, so I'm going to warn you about this as well. I don't expect things to get better as Christians. I don't expect it to get easier. I do expect that it will get worse and more difficult. That's my personal inclination. You may disagree. And so all the more reason to immerse ourselves in the Word of God to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us each and every day, and then live according to those truths. Amen.